Today on Straight Talk Africa, a look at the presidential elections in Nigeria and Senegal. To what extent does the process reflect the will of their people? That discussion is coming up next right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa, live from the Voice of America headquarters here in Washington. I am Sheikh Asali, and today we are discussing the presidential elections in Nigeria and Senegal. Nigerian incumbent head of state, Muhammadu Buhari, has been re-elected as president. Meanwhile, votes are still being counted in Senegal, but President Macky Sall is widely expected to win that presidency. My colleague, Paul Ndiho, has more on the story.
Muhammadu Buhari was re-elected Wednesday as Nigeria's president after a delayed poll that angered voters and raised political temperatures. But the opposition immediately vowed to challenge the election results. It was the second victory at the ballot box for Buhari, a one-time military ruler who in 2015 was elected to lead Africa's most populous nation and leading oil producer. With ballots accounted in all of Nigeria's 36 states and the Federal Capital Territory, Buhari won with 15.2 million votes. His nearest rival, Atiku Abubakar, trailed by nearly 4 million votes. The chairman of the Independent National Electoral Commission announced the winner.
Muhammadu Buhari of the All Progressive Congress, having satisfied the requirements of the law and scored the highest number of votes, is hereby declared winner and is returned elected.
Abubakar on Wednesday rejected the results of the vote, which he says were marred by claims of rigging and corruption. In a short statement, Atiku said, "I hereby reject the results of the February 23rd sham election and we will be challenging it in court." Buhari thanked Nigerians for re-electing him for the next 4 years.
"I thank the millions of Nigerians who voted to re-elect me as your president for the next 4 years. I'm deeply humbled and profoundly grateful to you for giving me worthy of continuing to serve you."
In Senegal, incumbent Macky Sall, the heavy favorite going into last Sunday's presidential election, is confident that when all the votes are counted, he will remain president. Despite no official announcement from the nation's electoral commission, Prime Minister Mohamed Dione Esali appointee claims incumbent president Macky Sall has secured enough votes to avoid a runoff.
"The compiled results are telling us today that we must congratulate President Macky Sall for his re-election in the first round."
His comments are at odds with earlier statements from main opposition candidates, Osman Sonko, a 44-year-old tax official, who has galvanized young people with his promises of making government more accountable and transparent, and Idrissa Seik, a three-time presidential contender and former prime minister. The country's election commission has been stern in a warning on all candidates to abstain from prematurely announcing any unofficial results. Sall, 57, who cast his ballot in his hometown of Fatick, seeks a re-election on his record as the builder of modern Senegal. Building roads, high-speed train that links the capital to its brand-new international airport, and creating jobs to boot. Opposition supporters maintain these efforts have not reached many in the West African country, where young men often risk their lives to migrate to Europe. This year's vote has also been marked by allegations that President Sall has effectively blocked two prominent opposition politicians from participating in the election process. Political observers say Senegal has long been a defender of democracy in the region, and so far, local and international observers are saying this election has already been given a clean bill of health. Paul Ndiho, VOA News.
Thanks, Paul, for that interesting report. Joining us in the studio are three distinguished guests. The Reverend Aniedi Okule, Executive Director, Africa Faith and Justice Network. Ogbeni Lanley Banjo, former gubernatorial candidate in Ogun State, southwestern Nigeria. And Boka Ba, a Senegalese satellite communications engineer and African political analyst. And joining us live from the Nigerian capital, Abuja, is VOA journalist Medina Daouda. And from the Senegalese capital of Dakar, live via Skype, we are joined by VOA executive producer Sarwa Jafali. Well, I have to say, ladies and gentlemen, that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host you on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
You're most welcome. Thank you. We move on now and live via Skype to the Senegalese capital, Dakar. We are joined by Sarwa Jafali. Good evening, Sarwa.
Good evening, Shaka.
How are you?
Very good, thank you.
What is the mood like downtown Dakar?
Well, the mood is, I would say, back to normal. The wait is almost over. According to a source at the office in charge of counting the ballots, the results of Senegal's election will be announced tomorrow at 11 a.m. local time. The commission has been examining the tallies coming from 45 committees across the country. Since Sunday, local media has been already given the results. Off polling station after polling station and then city after city. And according to these results, these results have been suggesting that, in fact, there's a big chance that Macky Sall, the incumbent president, will be winning this election. That said, we'll have to wait for the official announcement tomorrow at 11 a.m. To confirm that. Sall's nearest rival, Idrissa Seck, comes after, followed by the youngest one, 44 years old, Ousmane Sonko, who's won a lot of votes from the diaspora, the Senegalese diaspora abroad. Since Monday, as I said, Dakar has been back to normal. People who left the city to go vote in their hometowns are back. So the city is crowded as ever, and everybody's expecting tomorrow's announcement.
Any particular reason why there are some reports suggesting that there seem to be a lot of people who think that this time around, this particular election is neither free, fair, or credible?
Well, I've been here for the whole period of the election, including Sunday election vote, and we've been to five polling stations. We've interviewed a lot of people. We've talked to a lot of observers who have been accredited to observe this election, and I haven't noticed anything, and the people we talk to, they all talk about very calm, smooth, very minor incidents, no major incidents to report. There's been reports about, like, people forgetting their voting cards or going to the wrong office, or some offices didn't have enough personnel. But other than that, frankly, everything went smoothly. There wasn't any violence. There wasn't any, major events that Sunday, nor the day after. There was some tension, you mentioned in the report, some tension on Sunday night, where the prime minister announced that Macky Sall has already won the vote with 57%, followed by this interesting press conference given by two of his opponents, Ousmane Sonko and Idrissa Seck, basically accusing Macky Sall of stealing the votes of the people and, warning everybody not to give any results before it is being announced by the authority who is supposed to announce it tomorrow.
When you talk to people, do you get the sense that this election was about issues, or was it in fact about personalities?
Both. both, I would say. It was kind of a test for Macky Sall. He's already had 7 years to prove himself. And I have to say his record is impressive, according to a lot of people we spoke to. Senegal's economy rose by 6%, and it's supposed to rise to keep on this trend. According to the IMF, it's supposed to be 6.5 this year, and then 6.10 maybe next year. So he's achieved a lot economically. That said, we're talking here about major big project like the airport, the train, the expressway, a lot of big projects. But whether the Senegalese people feel it directly in their pockets or in their everyday life, that was the question. A lot of people think not. A lot of people think that, yes, they have felt it and they would like to give him another chance. So it was mainly, it was a lot about a test for Macky Sall, whether he did well or not. Personality as well. Well, we've seen the youngest one, which is a surprise in this, who is a surprise in this election. He's 44 years old, and yet he managed to collect the 53,000 signatures necessary for his sponsorship. And he got a lot of votes, I have to say. You know, he came third, and he got a lot of vote from the Casamance region and from the diaspora. The former prime minister also, Idrissa Seck, I would say it's a question of personality as well, because some people don't like Macky Sall, and the fact that he wasn't really clear whether he's not really clear whether he's from the Mourid Brotherhood or not. As it's worth mentioning that the Brotherhoods here have a lot of importance, a tremendous influence on people, and whether they will vote for this person or the other person.
As you rightly said, Sarwa, that infrastructure that you referred to is certainly not reflected in most people's stomachs. What about the fact that you do have a very, very acute water shortage? And what about also reports or allegations that Macky Sall and his brother have been taking advantage of the newly discovered oil deposits? Talking about corruption here.
Yeah, we've heard some of that. Well, I'm in Dakar. I've been in this city twice, and the city changed a lot. I've been here in 2004, I think, and the infrastructure is, for sure, it's much better. But we've talked to a lot of people who talk to us about infrastructure problem, including water problems. We've been to Touba, and this is very interesting. I went to Touba yesterday to do a story about the Brotherhoods. And, I mean, I was really underwhelmed. It was very shocking to me that it wasn't really... It is one of the biggest, most influential cities in the country, and yet it does not look like a real city. I mean, there were like two streets, a lot of sandy roads all around, and the main attraction is the big mosque, which is, you know, the center of the Mourid Brotherhoods. And we talked to people who were complaining about how little Macky Sall did for the city. When it rains, there is flood every year, and yet nothing hasn't been done. So there's a lot of talk about infrastructure, but you know, people who support Macky Sall think that he can fix these things. He's done a lot in terms of big infrastructure, and he promised to do more if given 5 more years.
What about the reported excitement that greeted the younger man, Ousmane Sonko, who obviously also happened to share the first name with the late Ousmane Sembeni, the father of African film?
What about him?
Yeah, what about the excitement that greeted him? What happened?
Well, a lot of, as you know, 80% of the Senegalese population is under the age of 40. There's a lot of young people here. I mean, if you walk down the streets, a lot of young people. And a lot of young people we talk to are happy to see such a figure rising in the polls and having a chance to be president of the country. So they're pretty excited about him, they're, you know, impressed by his charisma, by the way he talks, by the fact that he's like out of the box. He wants a divorce from France. He wants to adopt a new currency and change the CFA franc that's connected to the European euro. A lot of radical quote unquote discourse that a lot of people like here, especially young people. The other people, of course, the other side is, well, young people don't have a lot of experience, and change, radical change, is not always a good idea. So there's a lot of there's people who are excited about what he might bring, and they are willing to give him a chance to make a radical change. And there's people who don't like change, and maybe they're willing to give another chance to Macky Sall and see where is that going.
Well, on that note, Sarwa Jafari, thank you so much for
your
insight. You're most welcome.
Thank you.
Let me go to Ba. Let me go to the Senegalese himself, the gallant Senegalese. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. Thank you for having me.
You look terrific, given that the last time you actually appeared here is about 7 years ago.
Yes, 7 years ago I was here. I represented Idrissa Seck at this show. We were in the same movement because we wanted change against
Ablaiwa. And you represented a loser.
In 2007, what happened is Idrissa Seck finally joined Ablaiwa before the second term.
Who won, of course?
Before even the election finished. So
that's right.
It was one term. So
that's right.
And
so,
since that day, I stepped back.
What is your reaction to the election so far?
Yes, thank you very much. I heard her talking. He had presented the case in general very well.
She had.
Yes. The only thing I want to add is Mr. Sonko, he's not against the French people. He is maybe a new young guy with ideas like patriotism.
He's a nationalist.
Nationalist. But it's not necessarily against France or against the UK or against European state. No. He wants the resources of the country to be shared first with the country. With the country people, with the people, and he cannot accept that the fact that since 1960, the same people, same figures are there running the country over and over. And actually, I heard you asking the question whether it's a personal or issues. If today most of the people are not with Macky Sall, it's just because we fought the political system which was here. Mainly the system, the Ablaiwa system. But when he won the election, most of the people who was working with Ablaiwa came to his system. So it's not really a big change.
So you're talking about taking advantage of political patronage?
Yes. And that was the biggest issue. I think if people are challenging him, it's just because of that reason. But I recognize that he has done a lot in terms of infrastructure. But these infrastructures, again, is not benefiting, like she said it on the show.
The vast majority of people
use it, but the return of investment is not going to the Senegalese people. It's going mostly to the foreign countries.
But what about the fact that Macky Sall seems to be symbolic or a symbol of a sort of democracy poster boy?
To be honest with you, I'm not going to side for nobody. I'm just going to tell you the fact. The fact is, in 2012, everybody really liked the man. We all supported the man with 65%, helped him to be elected against Mr. Wade. So the first thing we were hoping is to improve the democracy in Senegal. I think in my mind, in my opinion, my humble opinion, I think we're having difficulties because the opposition has been asking for an independent body to monitor or supervise or organize the elections. But it is not the case. He has his Ministry of Interior organizing the election. And that's kind of suspicious. You know, that's the main problem. That's the main problem we have right now. They are the only body doing everything inside. So there are some cases, for example, this commission who is supposed to count the votes and extra. I'm sure the opposition have some people representing them over there. But I think, in my mind, from the beginning of the process, we should have said, okay, this is an independent body, like we had in Nigeria, I think.
Well, but unfortunately, time happens not to be our best ally, especially given that Studio 47 is not democratic. You have to follow the orders from the parade sergeant.
Thank you.
Now, let's go now to Abuja and to VOA journalist Medina Dauda. Good evening, Medina. Good evening, Medina.
Good evening, Shaka.
I am terrific. How are you today?
Good. And you?
I am hugely terrific. How is the mood like downtown Abuja?
Well, downtown Abuja, I would say the mood is the mood of merrymaking for those who elected President Muhammadu Buhari. But for those who did not elect President Muhammadu Buhari, the mood is somehow sad for them because the elections did not go their way. There are a lot of celebrations going around town, yes, but of course, those that are PDP members or ardent members of PDP are not celebrating.
But what about reports, for example, that you are looking at an election where Nigerians, or at least the vast majority of Nigerians, supported Major General Muhammadu Buhari, retired but certainly not tired, because he's fighting corruption, and that Nigerians, in fact, have rejected corruption, especially given that they did not vote for Atiku Abubakar, who is a former vice president, of course, and also the president of the Nigerian Senate, Mr. Saraki, who lost his seat.
Yes, that is true. You are right to say majority of Nigerians voted President Muhammadu Buhari because of the few things that he has done. Yes, he could be saying to be fighting corruption, but for the past 4 years, not too many people have been prosecuted from the corruption that has ravaged the country. So if you say he's fighting corruption, not everybody has seen the fight really, really manifesting or materializing in a way that people could be prosecuted, people could be jailed, you know. Just a few former governors could be said to be in jail, but that's not good enough. Some people who are around the president are being speculated to be corrupt. Yes. We have not seen actions being taken in that aspect. Yes. Questions are still being asked. Why are those people still staying around the president if he is fighting corruption? Agreed that the government could be singing it, that they are fighting corruption. But people also need to see it happen.
Thank you.
Like getting a lot of people who have held former positions, who have been accused of embezzling a lot of funds in their states, you know. But none of that is manifesting. Nobody is seeing so much action in that aspect. Now, President Buhari could be said to be elected by majority of Nigerians because he won in 12 states overwhelmingly than the former vice president, Atiku Abubakar. Right. But again, the opposition is saying this election is flawed. Yes. Despite the fact that the AU and the ECOWAS observers are saying it is a free, fair, and credible election, most of the opposition parties, being led by the PDP, where former Vice President Atiku Abubakar stood for the elections, are saying they are going to contest these elections in court. Some are even losing faith in the Nigerian judiciary, because I remember interviewing the chairman of the National Rescue Movement Party, former Senator Saidu Ansadou from Zamfara State, who has complained bitterly about the elections in his home state of Zamfara. And he has even said that he's going to court, but this time, not any of the Nigerian courts. He is going to the International Court for Justice in The Hague, because as far as he is concerned, most or 95%, according to him, of Nigerian judges are cash and carry judges. If you give them money, they give you judgment that will suit you. So as far as he's concerned, he's going to the ICC in The Hague to file against these elections, that the elections that produced the president in Zamfara and some of the National Assembly members in Zamfara was also flawed. So you can see which other way the pendulum swings. There are a lot of questions to be answered.
And do you take that man seriously? Because let's face it, the last time I checked, Nigeria happens to be a sovereign state.
Certainly, Nigeria is a sovereign state. Nigeria is a democratically the leadership or the rulership of Nigeria is a democratically elected government. The Nigerian people have their rights. They can exercise their rights anywhere. I may not take him seriously, but the fact that Zamfara State and some other states that were flashpoints before these elections should be critically looked into before the elections. As you may be aware, Shaka, Zamfara State has been in the news lately for series of killings, kidnappings, and many, many other vices. And this same senator is one of those pointing his fingers at the government of Zamfara. So if he says he has lost faith in Nigeria's judiciary and he's going to the International Court in The Hague, nobody would stop him because he's a free Nigerian. He's free to seek justice anywhere. And the International Court of Justice is a court for the entire world anyway, and Nigeria is part of it. I may not take him seriously because I don't know how much support he would have from his state to carry out such a venture. But I think he's also entitled to his opinion.
And what about support from the International Court? Let me ask you this question. You've been there for quite some time, and obviously you've had an opportunity to move around and interact with a lot of people and all that kind of stuff. If you were to talk to us from the deepest, better part of the bottom of your Nigerian heart and soul, do you think that you were looking at an election whose results, in your view, are reflections of the will of the people, or is it a reflection of the will of the individual who announced the results?
Well, I don't want to sound opinionated, Shaka, but the truth is, for all that we have done as journalists, we have had the feel of the people's worries. You know, we have talked to both sides, those who are in support and those who are against. People have complained in these 4 years that there's poverty in the land. And I'm sure you must have also read, Shaka, what other people are saying or other countries are saying about Nigeria, that it has become now the hub of poverty in the entire Africa, despite the fact that it is the most populous country in Africa, the strongest economy in Africa. People are still hungry. Okay, talking about the elections, those who possibly elected the president could have done it out of their determination for democracy to thrive in Nigeria. I didn't think that they voted they voted along religious lines or along ethnic lines, but I think they just voted in favor of democracy. And of course, if you bring the part of ethnic lines, it's possible, both of them were northerners, the highest contenders. Buhari and Atiku are all from the north, both of them are Muslims, both of them are Fulanis. So you would be asking, why would one be elected more than the other? It's possible that they could have gone for maybe pedigree, capacity, integrity, or competence. Because yeah. This president is one who has led the country when he was in the army, and now he's leading the country again in a democratic setting.
Well, so on that note,
which
I hate
other
to say
way
it
they
because,
could have elected him?
Time
based
is not
on
our
that.
Best ally. Well, on that note again, time is not our best ally. Medina Dauda, thank you so much for your insight. You are tuned into Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of a discussion in a moment. So please, don't go away because we'll be right back with you.
On Our Voices, we're talking about the news and issues you're talking about.
Sharing stories of development and growth across Africa, around the world, and in our lives. Topics that inform, empower,
and change the rules.
It's time for Our Voices with me, Haiti Adams Fitzpatrick,
and Hadiza Kiari,
and Ayan Bior,
and Orion Itangi Shaka.
It's time for Our Voices.
We are able to touch on things that are important to people on an everyday basis. We hope that our viewers are getting inspired when they watch our show. They're getting a view of the world from a different perspective, things that perhaps are not in their immediate vicinity. Today, I could put in on the show something that is a little different, a little unique, and this gives me that inspiration to come to work.
A reminder that we appreciate all of the audience feedback. Straight Talk Africa streams live every Wednesday on Facebook. Now let's look at what's on tap for next week's program.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we are celebrating the accomplishments of women on the continent. This year's United Nations theme is Think Equal, Build Smart, Innovate for Change. An in-depth discussion on the path to gender equality on the continent on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Today we are discussing the presidential elections in Nigeria and Senegal. Our guests today are political analyst Boka Ba, Reverend Aniyedi Okule, Executive Director for the Africa Faith and Justice Network, and Ogbeni Lanele Banjo, former gubernatorial candidate of Ogun State, southwestern Nigeria. I have to say, ladies and gentlemen, that of course now the ladies are gone, so we only have gentlemen right here. I have to say, frankly, that once again, I am profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host you on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much. It's such an honor to be here, to be hosted by an iconic journalist like you.
You're most
glad
welcome.
To be here.
You're most welcome. And of course, I have to say that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled for your compliments and support.
Okay.
Let me come to you immediately, really. Your reaction to the election in Nigeria, do you get the sense that we are looking at results that reflect the will of the Nigerian people?
Yes, I think there is, but I am a little bit uncomfortable about the margin. You know, I suspected that this election was going to be tight, but the margin of 15 and 11 million are kind of make me feel a little uncomfortable. Why do I say that? There are certain issues that one needs to look at. Number one, you had from the registration, about 70 million were supposedly registered. 84 million. Mm-hmm. Only about a little over 70 million got their voter's card.
And okay. Only about 30, apparently, may in fact have cast their vote.
That's the point. So you have, out of 70 million that got their vote, you have actually 27 million who cast votes. So the turnout is low. But yet, when you see the election results in areas that one would have expected low turnout because of security concerns, the results seem to be a lot higher.
The northeastern part of the country.
Yeah, so that's, and even Jos itself, you know, Plateau State, which has been a hub of a lot of trouble there.
So you think that the results from that part of the country could probably be a reflection of creative accounting?
That's a nice way of putting it. but let me say this, you know, that given also. Okay, I admit, 4 years ago, I was eagerly awaiting the presidency of Buhari. No doubt about it. And I admit, guilty as charged, you know.
Was it really for Buhari, or was it against
corruption? I wanted,
the individual that happened.
Yes,
to
I want. Yes, exactly.
Astorok at that time.
I really wanted. The corruption issue is vast, and it needs to be tackled. If it's not tackled, it's going to be the demise of Nigeria. But also, one thing that I expected this president to have countered is the security issue. As a former general and a military person, security issue has gone a lot worse than it was 4 years ago.
And what about the issue in Niger Delta?
The issue in Niger Delta, actually, that one has, you know, compared to the other areas, there's still the issue there. But in terms of the kidnappings, the clashes between herdsmen and farmers, Boko Haram and all of that, the clashes have escalated. A lot of people are being kidnapped on the streets. And so there was a lot of intimidation and fear that made people stay away from voting.
I see.
So the issue here is, yes, it's very possible when you see what the journalist commented, you know, Dadua commented, is that a lot of people who should have voted seem to have stayed home, number one. Number two is that you find within the electorate, there are people who have, religion wasn't a factor. You know,
no, because they were both Muslims.
Yeah, they were both Muslims.
They were both from the north.
They were both from the north. But I also think that also the vice presidential candidates were factors, you know.
I see.
Yeah, I mean, we can return to that later. But I think they were factors in the sense that, for example, the PDP presidential vice presidential candidate is a proven Democrat. He's somebody who is a former state governor of Anambra State. And he's a man with integrity. He did so much there that when you talk of transparency, very transparent in what he did. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people galvanized towards PDP because of him.
So how come he didn't seem to, didn't quite hit up the party then?
Yeah, but I personally expected the, you know, PDP to get more votes. You know.
But what about the man, in fact, that was the flag bearer of the PDP? He seems to have perception problems.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, as vice president of the country before, he had a lot of issues, you know. But then people had said, oh, well, he's come back and turned around, that even former President Obasanjo, who was president and he was his vice, was actually turning and endorsing him. Well, not so openly, but he had a meeting there and said, okay, we think this man could do well, and we should not, to quote him, reinforce failure.
Let's go to the former, almost, I might say, and I hope he will forgive me,
it's okay,
perennial gubernatorial candidate, Ogun State. Your reaction?
Well, first, let me thank Medina. Is that her name?
Yes.
The lady?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
She gave a fair report. I am here on behalf of Nigerians and Nigeria. I am not for Atiku and I'm not for Buhari. 4 years ago, I was in this studio.
You're for Nigerian democracy?
Yes, which adds up to Nigeria. Now, I congratulate President Buhari for this victory. However, I want him to prove to all of us that he's a good Muslim. He knows what happened. I'm not privy to it.
So what do you think happened?
My brother here said, if you look at the votes in Northeast, somebody need to look at that and say, did they actually got all these votes? Or it was cooked up?
Are basically very skeptical. You have no confidence
because
in the INEC.
Well, in the INEC, in those who are in power. When President Buhari was asked, will you congratulate whoever that wins this election? He said, no, I'm going to congratulate myself.
He was also quoted, in fact, as having said that when he actually gets the results, he will be at his home, and when he gets the bad news, he will not travel to Abuja.
Well, a good president of a nation shouldn't have either said that or even shown anything that would make people deduce that. But the point is this. I'm here to talk about Nigerian democracy. If you look at...
But let's assume, for the discussion's sake, let us assume that, in fact, the results are true reflections of what the voters actually did.
Yes.
Why would they vote for him? What has he been able to accomplish in the last 4 years?
That is a good question. Now, they keep pointing fingers at Atiku as a thief. Former Vice President Atiku and I were on your program here, and he had to run away when I told him exactly what he had been doing, that's not pleasant
when
to Nigerians.
When you talk about a thief, this is a man that has never really been convicted.
That's going to be my point. Former President Obasanjo, who pointed to him and said, he's a thief, what he did, may God forgive him, he was telling me that as a citizen. Does President Obasanjo want me to go and investigate Atiku, have him arrested, and have him prosecuted? After that,
come to some conclusions regarding the perception of corruption or a thief when you talk about the relationship or his associationship with a former U.S. congressman called Jefferson from Louisiana.
Again, I'm progressing on what I was saying before. Jonathan came in for 6 years. They are all aware that this man may be corrupt. They didn't do anything to him. Now my brother, Muhammad Buhari, was there for 4 years. He benefited from this corrupt man because this so-called corrupt man lent him his private jet, allegedly bought from this money they said he stole. President Buhari in 2015 did not reject that private jet, saying that, hey, I cannot be in this private jet because you bought it with Nigerian money. He didn't.
But Ogbeni, as if there were only two presidential candidates.
I understand that. I'm coming there too. And that is where Nigerians need to really look at themselves and analyze what happened. If Chief Gani Fawemi fought for Nigeria to freely associate, and Nigerians are still buckling them into these two political parties, I'm sympathetic with Nigerians. I think we have options. That's why I said I'm not here for Atiku, I am not here for Buhari. However, they need to analyze this election and do a post-mortem. For example, where you disarm police in a polling booth, what makes a police a constituted authority is when you have a uniform, you have handcuffs, you have tear gas, you have a gun. But you take that order from him, and people went into that polling booth to snatch ballot boxes What can a policeman do? So they made us a laughingstock of the world.
What about the fact that the Electoral Commission suddenly postponed the election on the very day that people had actually traveled from long distances, really, to go and cast their vote? To what extent would you say perhaps that, in fact, may also have contributed or affected, especially the turnout? Because we're talking about in the neighborhood of 35.2% turnout. About 30 million people voted out of 84 million registered voters.
Well, that could have affected it. However, I must praise Nigerians for at least coming out in mass. But when you start to hear the issue of killing, the issue of people going to the ballot boxes like they did in Oyo, in Lagos, in River State, when you hear the president saying that if you snatch boxes, you have to get shot, that scares people. Now, when you look at a week before that election was postponed, the Attorney General of the Nation talked about Samvara, that they must postpone that election because of Samvara. So that the INEC commissioner announced at 2:30 a.m., when decent people are sleeping, it didn't really surprise me when I heard about it. So they know what they are doing.
Ogubeni, what about the defeat of Senator Bokola?
I commend Nigerians on that. I commend
Saraki,
Nigerians on the defeat of Senator Akpabio.
The former president of the Nigerian Senate.
And Senator Akpabio, too. I commend Nigerians on that. I commend those people from Akwa Ibom, the Kwarans. I say kudos to all of you.
So do you believe that the results of those particular constituencies reflected the will of the people?
Oh, yes.
Me too.
Those have been due. They have long gone.
So if that is true, then how come you don't believe, for some reason, that these results of the presidential race may in fact be true reflections of the will of the people?
We will know that fact when Atiku goes to court and tenders his evidence.
Yeah. Interesting.
I personally don't think, at this point, it is very unlikely that the results are going to be overturned.
You mean through the court system?
Yes.
Is that because you think that the Nigerian judicial system is not sufficiently independent?
I think that the Buhari won, but I'm saying about the margin. The margin that over almost 4 million.
No, but the purpose...
Almost 4 million. I'm a little bit skeptical. But I think that Nigerians are tired of corruption. There is no doubt about it.
It is not only corruption, but it is a certain type of corruption. Yeah. Malign.
My goodness, it's,
not benign.
Malignant corruption. It's too well. But my brother pointed out something here, and the journalist there pointed out something, is that, fighting corruption needs to go beyond recovery.
Yes.
There are a lot of people that we know are thieves, to use this word here, who are on the streets, who have been named. But there is no judicial persecution. No persecution. Nobody is in jail. We recover 45 million here, recover that. But the same people are not only walking out on the streets, but they are participating in government in one way or the other. That needs to change. That really needs to change. But I think that, yes, Nigerians are tired, because when you see the amount of money people steal, It is unconscionable.
It is unconscionable.
It is staggering. It mind-boggling. Well, in the billions, and you wonder how could that happen?
Why would you have a Nigeria that is incredibly wealthy, incredibly rich, in terms of it being, for example, obviously enjoys the position of having Africa's largest economy? It enjoys the fact that it is the most populous nation on the African continent. When you talk about Hollywood, we just went through the process of Oscars. We talk about Nollywood, which pretty much dominates the continent in terms of providing entertainment, whether it is movies, cinema, film, or music.
Music, absolutely.
You talk about oil.
Yep.
You name it. Nigeria.
Yeah.
You talk about some of the smartest minds,
absolutely,
not only in Africa but in the world.
Yes,
they call Nigeria home.
Home, yeah.
Yes. Why would Nigeria not be able to do the right thing
governance,
for its people?
Governance, governance, you know. That is the problem. We have not in a very long time have in Nigeria government that is the government for the people, government that channels the resources of the people for development, government that is after the common good, government that is transparent, government that is accountable. So he talked about the judicial system. You know, you have a judicial system that for now, people are casting doubts.
Are you surprised?
Absolutely not. I mean, because it's there.
In Africa, it's only Kenya.
Yeah, okay.
It's only Kenya, at least in the first round of the presidential election.
That came up doing something.
Yes. And it's also, by the way, it was, I think, the actually fourth or third in the world.
Yes. So we have here a judiciary, as she mentioned, that, you know, judges are being bribed and they make decisions. For example, years ago, under the former administration, somebody stole over $2 billion of pension funds, right? Mm. And the person was charged to court. When he was charged to court, he was charged for a very minor crime, not the big crime. It's like somebody broke a house, entered in the process, killed the person, and
under
stole
whose
the
administration
money.
Is that? Under whose administration?
That was Jonathan?
No. It's Buhari.
Good luck, Jonathan.
It's Buhari.
No. It wasn't Buhari.
No, it started with Jonathan, but it
was only Jonathan. But the point is, when the person was charged to court, rather than say you've entered the house and killed somebody, the offense was you break and enter. You see what I mean? Mm. People are taken to court rather than charge them for the big crime.
But can Buhari reopen that? But let me say this. When you go to court, you are not only going to court for legal victory. You are going to court so that certain things could be revealed, that you can use that to improve your system. Mm-hmm. So that is why I appreciate people going to court to say, this election is not free and fair because A, B, C, D happens. Mm-hmm. Now, the electoral umpire can now assess it.
But what about the fact that President Buhari may in fact have something to settle with the Nigerian judiciary? Especially given the steps that he took against the Nigerian Chief Justice.
Onogen, see, this is what I've been saying, that the Nigerian rulers are hypocritical. When it affected Buhari, they quickly removed Onogen. But if it hasn't affected Buhari, that man would have been left there. This is the problem in Nigeria.
Yeah, and I agree with that because, you know, even in corruption seem to be sometimes one-sided.
Do you remember that Kalu?
Selective.
Yes, that Kalu, our friend, you remember him?
You mean Governor Oji Kalu?
He was arrested.
Former governor of
Abia
State.
Yes, he was arrested for corruption. He dumped his party. He went to Buhari's party. They said it's now clean.
It's now clean.
Yes. And I can mention two or three.
Let me bring in our brother, Baka. Ba, you are Senegalese.
Yes, I'm Senegalese.
You come from, of course, West Africa, and Nigeria and Senegal are both part of ECOWAS.
Absolutely.
You probably know as well as I do that when you talk about Nigeria, you are really talking about Africa's superpower.
Absolutely.
Out of every four Africans, they say, absolutely, one may in fact be a Nigerian. Mm-hmm. Don't you think that in that sense, Nigeria really owes Africa? Nigeria should have a moral responsibility to Africa, to African democracy, to be the beacon of hope for African democracy.
Yeah. Thank you very much for that question. I always tell my African followers that we all one nation. Yes. And if I'm here in US talking in the studio, it's because of one Nigerian who taught me English, hired me from overseas. And
really?
Yes, give me all the skills in the satellite field.
I also had a Nigerian professor at UCLA when I was doing my PhD, Professor Boniface Obichere.
Yeah. So.
I also had, as an undergraduate, uh-huh, another Nigerian professor called Prince Ibrahim Gambari.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
So I worked with this guy. He brought me to Nigeria. And I worked with Nitel at that time, okay. Back in the year 1994, 1995, 1996. And I lived in Surulele. Okay. I lived in Surulele, which is, yeah, Lagos.
Good place.
Yes.
Lagos.
So we all the same. So actually, Nigeria owe Africa to be the to give a role model.
Exactly. Yes. You know.
But unfortunately, what they're talking about, I perfectly agree with them, the corruption, it's not only specific to Nigeria. It's almost in all African countries, anywhere around the world.
But Nigeria seems to be the champion.
Everywhere we go, that's the same problem. Everywhere we go, that's the same. The corruption is raising high. So I think in my mind, what
some
we need to do,
corruption is
what we need to do is to detach the judicial system from the governance. Mm-hmm. That way, if you have good people, if you have a good judicial system, anyone, anybody who committed a crime or who embezzled the money of the government of the country should be prosecuted.
So you are talking really here.
It's the same everywhere.
The need for identifying people with character.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
To occupy those types of positions.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We because if you have a good judicial system and you don't have good people, it's not going to go nowhere. Yeah.
So you need the character.
You need those both.
Yeah. You need integrity.
Integrity, yeah. And you need a good judicial system. Sometimes we do have, for example, if I take the case in Senegal, we had a good judicial system. But if you put the corrupt judge over there, it's not going to fly. It's not going to go nowhere. That's why I'm saying we need to detach. And Africa really needs to move on. If you see that young guy in Senegal getting really, people liked him, especially the youngsters, it's just because he want to cut the ties of all, meaning that the judicial system must be there. Corruption.
Let me ask you a question, Reverend Okule. We have problems really across Africa when it comes to how we choose our leaders, mm-hmm. using the path of elections. Mm-hmm. And yet we know that a lot of these events turn out to be, according to some people, selections, not elections. What do we do? Because we need to get people of integrity, people with distinct character, mm-hmm. to occupy the Assol rocks of the world.
Yeah, we need citizenship education, you know. By that I mean
civic education.
Yeah, you know, of people. Because,
but who is supposed to provide it? Supposed to be government.
The same oppressors.
No,
this is something that needs to go. You know, for example, in Nigeria today, the question of you talking about Nigeria being at the prime, until young people really understand their stake for the future, they will be voting somebody like Suwore, you know, vote for him, and then have a change, a revolution.
Unfortunately, the Reverend Aniedo Kule, time is not our best ally. Well, on that note, today's guests were Boka Ba, the Reverend Aniedo Okule, and Ogbeni Lanle Banjo. Earlier, we were joined by VOA journalist Medina Dauda and Sarwa Jafari. Thanks to our audience for tuning into Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better, not bitter, Nigeria and Senegal. And please remember to keep the African hopes alive.